a lesson, take a little more time. I'm doing something a little different in Sunday school. With this lesson, I've been really musing on it and thinking about it. Being in Ephesians chapter 5 for... Some I preached something similar to before, but nothing like this exactly. And I'm musing on it for a long time, and the Lord didn't have peace about preaching it during any particular time. But then we decided to do it for Sunday school. It's actually more of a sermon than a lesson. But I think it's really important. I think either you will need this personally, most all of us need this personally, or you will be able to teach it to somebody. It's really a life-transforming concept. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to talk about put the fire all the way out. Ephesians 5. Put the fire all the way out. We'll start there, and then we'll wander into some Old Testament scriptures. Because of time, I'll start at verse 3, but all the verses are great here. It says, "But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become as saints." Not stop doing that, or don't do that very often. It says, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. That's what, if you want to be a saint, that's, you're not, this stuff is even named, it's not even associated with you. "Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather the giving of thanks. For we know that nor whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God and of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God on the children of disobedience. Be ye therefore not partakers with them." With those that do those things, they walk in evil, and of course the fruit reveals the tree. It's not saying you're one of them, it says just don't be partakers with them. "For ye were sometimes in darkness, now are ye a light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all godliness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll talk about this. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God, and thank you for the chance to preach it and teach it. And I pray, Lord, as you have this message for a purpose, Lord, it's a message that, Lord, not only can help us today, but, Lord, we can give this message and teach this lesson to hundreds of people and have people set free and people understand the way things are and the way they, why they are in their lives. And I pray that your Spirit would anoint it with the power, Lord, of heaven, that it would be understood and transforming power, Lord. We pray you'd help us now and give us your blessing upon this lesson in Jesus' name. Amen. The words in here are very strong. It says, "Not to be once named among you," talking about bad things. Verse 7, it said, "Don't be partakers." Verse 9, it says that our fruit is, the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness. That's complete. Verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto God, you demonstrate what God likes and doesn't like with your life. Verse 11, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness." That's nada, zero, none. Don't have any fellowship with the unfruitful works of righteousness. Verse 12, "For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done in them in secret." Don't even. There are certain things you shouldn't even talk about. A lot of people need to learn that lesson, by the way. And so, no fellowship. And don't even talk about certain things. Don't even talk about that. It's none of it. All. Not a partaker. Not be named among you. A complete separation from these things. And so that's kind of the concept. Jesus, when he'd heal somebody or when he did many mighty works, he would. It's like, you ended up with her, huh? All right. We're trying to figure out what to do with this baby here. So Joshua's got an extra one today. Anyway, it's just a long story. We have this. Jesus would tell people after he healed them and did miracles with them, he would say, "Go and sin no more." Now, that's a strong commandment. No more sinning. And like the woman caught in adultery, for example, he says, "Okay, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." And so he's saying, don't do this anymore. End this process and don't do it anymore. Now let me take you to Proverbs and read you out of Proverbs 4, and then I'll take you to Exodus and Deuteronomy and some things. Just kind of laying a little bit of introduction here, and then I'll explain to you a concept. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 24. It says, put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. So a froward mouth means deceitful. It says, put it away from you. And then it says, a perverse lips put far from thee. So put it away from you and put it far from you. The Bible talks about, I believe it's also in Ephesians, where it talks about you put off the works of darkness. You take that clothing off of you. And so it's a complete separation from sin. Okay? And once you get that concept, go and sin no more. Don't do this thing anymore. And in other words, what the Bible is saying is get it completely out. Get it completely out. Okay? Don't try not to do it. Get it completely out. And that's what I want to focus on. And let me illustrate this in the Old Testament with the book of Exodus here. Exodus chapter 8. Exodus chapter 8. And they're trying to get out of Egypt, and Pharaoh makes a deal with them, and he says, okay, you can go out of Egypt, but he says, in verse 28 here, he says, and Pharaoh said, I will not, and as a matter of fact, he doesn't say you can go out of Egypt, he says, but I'll let you go out of town here and worship God for a minute. And in verse 28, and Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that ye may sacrifice unto the Lord your God in the wilderness, only ye shall not go very far away, entreat for me. Well, guess what? God wanted them all the way out. But he said, you can't go very far out. You can go a little bit, but not all the way. Why? Because they didn't go very far, and they're the slaves. What are they going to do? Bring them back and make them slaves back where they were. He didn't want them to go all the way out of Egypt because he'd lose control over them. Okay? That's very important because this concept has to do with going all the way out so the control is lost. And then when they're going to go in the promised land, God said, go in the promised land, and I'm going to give you victory. And when I give you victory, complete the victory. Don't stop just partially destroying these people. Destroy them all the way, and not just that, but destroy all of their idols. Even if their idol is made of gold, it doesn't matter how sacred or nice it is. He says, destroy every one of their idols, every remnant of their gods, every part of their culture. He says, don't leave any part of it. And so let's go to Exodus chapter 23, where he instructs them in that. Exodus 23, verse 32. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in this land, lest they make thee to sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it shall be a snare unto thee. He says, don't make any deals with them. Don't say, okay, you know, you can dwell in this little corner and we'll be there. He says, get them all the way out. And he says, don't take their gods at all. Don't allow their gods to be there at all. He says, just get rid of all them. All of them, everything about them, get rid of, because if you don't, it'll become, and then he uses the word snare unto them. And then look at chapter 34 of Exodus. And I should have read just the last part. I could have read the verses before that where he said, I'm going to drive them out before you. And when I drive them out, let them go all the way. But we'll read another verse that says that too. Exodus 34 and verse 12. It says, take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be a snare in the midst of thee. But ye shall destroy their altars, break down their images, and cut down their groves. For thou shalt worship no other gods for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, the Jealous God. Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and and one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice. He says, get rid of them all the way. Get them all the way out of the land. Don't make a covenant, which is like a peace treaty with them. Just get rid of them. All the way. Complete the process. And get rid of them all the way. And then Deuteronomy, really important verse is Deuteronomy, and then I'll explain to you the concept a little bit here. Deuteronomy chapter 7. So we're supposed to let certain things not be named among us. We're supposed to completely put off sin. And we're supposed to prove what is acceptable to God. Israel then wanted to go to sacrifice to God, but he said he can't go very far out. But they said, no, we want to go as far as you want. Then God took them all the way out of Egypt. Now they're going to the promised land. And God tells them, when you go in the promised land, don't make any covenant with the people there. Go ahead and get rid of them all the way. I'm going to defeat them for you. Don't have any remnants of their gods. Don't marry their wives. Just get rid of them completely. Because if you don't, they will be a snare to you forever. And their gods will be a snare to you forever. And we're really focused on this Deuteronomy chapter 7. In verse 2, and when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shall thou marry them. Now notice in verse 2, and when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them. Okay, he says, finish the job. Verse 5. But thus shall you deal with them. You shall destroy their altars, break down their images, cut down their groves, burn their graven images with fire. That's to completely destroy every part of it. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself. So you're supposed to be different from them and finish it. And then go down to verse 16. I'll read there in verse 16. And thou shalt consume all the people which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee. Thine eyes shall have no pity upon them, neither shalt thou serve their gods, for they will be a snare unto thee. It'll be a snare unto thee. Notice you do it when God delivers them. When God delivers them. Because the time, now if you don't do it now, God says, when I'm delivering them, later on, they're going to be there and you can't get rid of them. You can't get rid of their gods. You can't get rid of the problem of this once it happens. And then forward to the book of Deuteronomy. So God's saying, when I deliver you, then you completely destroy them. Because if you don't, you're not going to completely destroy them after that. That's the important point. Judges now. So what do? They went in the land and didn't destroy everything. They kept some of the idols around. They let some of the people live. Judges chapter 1, verse 27. Neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Beth-Shanan and her towns. Verse 29, this is Judges 1. Neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites. Verse 30, neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron. 31, neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Achio, nor the inhabitants of Zidon, nor Ahlib. Verse 33, neither did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Beth-Shemeth, nor the inhabitants of Bethlehem. You get the pattern here? They didn't do what they're supposed to do. Now look what the result of that is. Chapter 2, verse 2. And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. He's telling them what he told them to do. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this? Therefore I said unto you, I'll not drive them out before you. But they shall be as thorns in your sides. And their God shall be thorns unto you. Now, if you just read the book of Judges and you read the other books of the Bible, you will find that these same gods, Baal, Molech, other people, and these same people, these people grew and attacked them later. They kept going back to their gods and going back to gods. They were a snare. They kept capturing them and capturing them and capturing them. And they would go, and a good king like King Josiah would come in, or other good kings, and they'd try to destroy all the altars that had been brought up, and they think they destroyed everything, and all of a sudden, guess what? That king had died, and they'd pop back up again. And they couldn't get rid of it for generation after generation, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And over, those people would give them problems, would torment them, would attack them, would bring them into morality, would bring God's wrath upon them. And they never got rid of them because they didn't finish the job in the first place. And so they didn't finish that. Now they're a permanent snare. And now it's their problem they're going to be dealing with for a long time. They're called thorns in their sides and snares. And let me just take you to one more verse here, and then I'll talk to you for a while. Psalm 106 reviews this process. In Psalm 106, verse 34. It's like I'm doing good on time. I thought I'd have a real time problem with getting through this because a lot of information. Verse 34. Psalm 106 and verse 34. They did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but they mingled among the heathen and learned their works. They served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and daughters, and da 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 da. and it became a snare to them. Okay, they didn't do it. When God was giving them the victory over these people, so now they couldn't finish the problem off, and they couldn't do that. So I go up, and I took my kids up the mountains a month and a half ago, and we messed around, had some fun up in the mountains, and we lit a fire for a while. We cooked some hot dogs and made shish kebabs of marshmallows and a bunch of other fun things, and then we got done, and then we put out the fire. There was a creek nearby and took the water out of there. But you know, there's putting it out the fire when you don't really put out the fire. It's still smoking. It's still there. It's still got life in it. It's still coals there, but there's no flames. Do you know how many forests have been destroyed because someone didn't put the fire all the way out? He said, no, it's just a little bit of wood down there and just a few coals. I already poured water on it. It's out. And they walk away and the thing pops back up. You know, it really putting out a fire, if you really listen to Smokey the Bear. And who remembers Smokey the Bear? Okay, who has no idea who Smokey the Bear is? Okay. And Smokey the Bear, if you listen to his instruction, only you can prevent forest fires. And you pour the water on it, then you stir it up to see if there's any more coals, and you pour more water on it, then you put dirt on top of it. And then the fire's all the way out, and guess what? The fire's not going to restart. But sometimes you think a fire's out, and it's not all the way out. And so that is very much like what God is telling them to do. I am telling you, finish this job and get the victory over these enemies while I'm giving you the victory. I'm going before you. I'm beating them up. He says, I'm sending hornets. I'm troubling them. They're going to be easy to beat. I'm knocking down Jericho's walls while I'm giving you the victory. Go in and finish the job. Because if you don't do that job later on, they're going to be there tormenting you. The fire's going to pop back up. And that's what you don't want to happen. And then it becomes a permanent problem. Then it's harder to put out a forest fire because you didn't put out the little fire when you could have. And they didn't do it. And now they got delivered and they got delivered to their enemies and judges and other places. So how does this apply to our lives? When God is working in your life, you let him finish something so that it's no more even named among you. If you leave things in when God's given you the victory, they will follow you the rest of your Christian life. Very important you understand that. This process usually happens when you first get saved. There's an exception that I'll get to at the end. But usually when you first start serving the Lord, all of a sudden, boy, God is stirring your heart. You're on fire for God. You are growing. You're hungering for the Bible. You're learning about the Lord, and you're walking this Christian life, and you want to have victory over sin, and you just start attacking the sin and attacking the problems of your life, and all of a sudden, there are neon lights. God's revealing them to you, and you're studying and learning and praying and getting victory and conquering things, and you are being transformed by the power and the word of God, and it's not easy, but you're beating your enemies. Okay, in the process right there, if whatever you completely stamp out, you will find is not a big struggle the rest of your Christian life. It's very simple. The promised land is a picture of the victorious Christian life, and the whatever you leave in there and embrace, or just kind of say, okay, I got to stop doing this so much, you will struggle with that sin for the rest of your Christian life in almost all cases. Now, you can have victory over it, and whenever Israel get right with God, God would send them a judge, for example, the book of Judges, and they'd defeat their enemies, but the enemy was never completely stamped out again. And as soon as they got away from God, as soon as they think they weren't careful, boom, there came back that sin. And that became a perpetual problem to them. And so then they kind of picked their struggles. Now, I'm sure there were some false gods that they got rid of and burned every single thing down, because there were so many different people, the Amorites and Jebusites and all the otherites. But there's a few of them they didn't, and you can name those ones. We just named them Molech, Baal. Why? There could have been any other ones. It's just those are the particular ones they kind of didn't destroy. Maybe one guy kept one idol. But for whatever reason, now they've got that. And so And so we want to go, and when God is working in our lives and God's moving powerfully, we want to go all the way and stomp that sin and get all of it out, that problem, that whatever it is. And so here's what God does. God sends you right at that enemy to finish him off. And the way we see it is, why does God just make me have to deal with this one thing? Why is it always this one giant thing and I got to just deal with that thing? Because God's trying to get it all the way out right now. It's time to defeat it. And you probably know what I'm talking about. If you started growing in the Lord at any particular time in your life, you probably say, boy, it was that. That was the thing I had to attack. Now, for many people, for example, one very common thing, somebody will have addiction problem, they'll get saved, and immediately the alcohol, let's say, will become the focus of their Christian life, of getting rid of that alcohol. They will have to get rid of their friends. They'll have to destroy all their alcohol. They will have to do massive steps and just attack that issue and deal with it and just get a complete victory over that. Because if they don't get victory over that, and I've seen this 1,000 times, that person will be back at it forever, struggling with it. Why is it so hard to deal with this thing here? The reason is because you left it in the land. Now, let me tell you about this in my life. Just a couple of things. I wouldn't have had the wisdom to know what my enemies had to defeat that I had to get out of my life. The Lord knew, and so he dealt with it with me, and he dealt with it in very strong frontal approach. One of the things that would have destroyed me as a Christian, that would have defeated me, was authority problems. I was very rebellious. I had a real problem with authority. My family was very anti-authority. It was just the way we were. And I was, that's why I was always in trouble in school, because I didn't like authority. And I am so, so hard-headed and stubborn that it didn't matter what the consequence was, nobody was going to tell me what to do. It didn't matter if you expelled me from school, it didn't matter if you tortured me, it didn't matter. I would never give in to authority. And then I got saved, started serving the Lord, and I started having conflict with my pastor. And God said, you know what? We got to deal with this thing. Now, authority is a big issue in the Bible. See, what I didn't know is if I couldn't submit myself to authority, eventually that authority I couldn't submit to would be God in the Bible. Because, and I could teach a whole sermon on this, God does not differentiate authority like we do. Well, that's God. He's the ultimate authority, but this guy's not a big authority. God has authority. It's a subject. It's not individuals. The powers that be are ordained of God. If you resist the ordinance of the God ordained, who are the people that God ordained, you resist them, you resist God. God just has authority. You say, no, people in the Bible disobeyed authority. No, they did not. No, it says we ought to obey God rather than men. That's right. We ought to obey, not disobey. Rebellion's always wrong. Rebellion's a sin of witchcraft. They didn't disobey the authority of the Roman Empire. They obeyed God because they were good with authority. Okay? I run past these guys door knocking all the time. You know, bless God, I don't need a church. I don't need somebody to tell me what to do. I'm my own authority. How come you got 25 Budweisers in there, and how come you're smoking a cigarette while you're talking to me? How come you've cussed 3 times in our conversation if you're such a good Christian? You don't want to go to church because you don't like authority. Because really, you don't want God's authority. And I didn't know all that. I didn't know I didn't know Romans 13 and 1 Peter 2 and all the chapters of the Bible that talk about authority. I didn't know that. I just knew God started forcing me to obey authority. And he put authorities in my life, and he said, do what they say. And then here's a weird thing that happened. You know what happened? People started telling me what to do. No, people didn't even bother. But now all of a sudden people started telling me what to do. God was making me stamp it out. My best friend, who is a discipling Roman, he comes into my house, and there's my mom, and he says, you know what? He's a Christian now, and he's going to have to obey you because the Bible says honor your father and mother, and so he has to obey you now. So you make sure anything he tells you to do, he's got to obey you. I didn't want to tell my mom that. I didn't want her to know the Bible said that. I didn't like obeying my mom. But now I had to. Because there was that authority thing in my face. Oh, man. I had to go back to school. And you know what? I was a mischievous kid, always in trouble. Always in trouble. And I had to go and be goody two-shoes kid in class my senior year in high school. Oh, man. I had to... And then I learned these words that went together. Yes, sir. Oh, man. Those are hard words when you don't like authority. And yes, ma'am. And God just seemed to... And then he would have people who had legitimate right to tell me what to do that I... they shouldn't even have been bothering with me. But then he'd also tell me what to do. And I knew I had to obey them. I knew it was an issue of... And I didn't want to obey them, but I wanted to serve God and I wanted the Lord. And the Lord just kept on saying, we're gonna fix this thing. He was making me stamp out the giant all the way. So I learned to do it. And then you know what God did? He sent me to the most dictatorial, authoritarian place in America, the Bible college I went to. You had to say yes, sir, to every authority there. It was demerits if you didn't. It was West Point on steroids. They checked my bed every morning. And not only did God do that, he put me in that place where you had to say yes, sir. You had to do everything just like they said, where there was never discussion on what was right or wrong. They just told you, don't do it. This is what we do. You don't like it? Get out of here. That's just the way it was. And God wanted me there. And God said, I want you there. I had to follow every one of the rules. He gave me a dorm supervisor. The dorm supervisor was the one who did room check. And I am not telling you this as some victim. I'm telling you this because everybody saw it and laughed at it. My dorm supervisor, for whatever reason, decided to go after me. He'd walk in our room. He wouldn't look at the other roommates' bed, and my roommates would verify this. He would go to my bed. He wouldn't just look to see if it was made. He would pull back the first layer. And sure enough, my sheet wasn't pulled all the way up. It was just part way up, but I figured he wouldn't check underneath the blankets. They did hair checks on us. You had to pass a hair check at least twice a week to make sure your hair was short enough. He would pull me. You had to go in lines. They'd line up all the guys. He would pull me out of the other line into his line and flunk me. After you flunked, you had to go back the next day and prove you got your hair approved. And I'd go back and not get my hair cut, and they'd approve my hair because he flunked me for no reason. And God wanted me to learn to say yes, sir, and treat him with respect. Yeah, I mean, I can't even tell you how hard it was for me. Now, if you know me now, I got a job where my supervisor was a wonderful combination of completely incompetent and a short woman with a Napoleon syndrome. And she did not know how to do her job, and she did not know how to ask anybody to do anything. She knew how to tell you what to do. And she would find a way to tell you something just to make sure you knew she was the boss. She would do things where they were illegal just to make it so she could prove that she was your supervisor. And she, the most irritating person, nobody liked her. Everybody fought her and argued with her because she was always wrong. Except for one person who had to learn a lesson, who knew God put them there for me, who said, yes, ma'am. Oh, if you know how many times I said yes, ma'am, I walked outside and kicked something. Why? Because God put her there. Now, through these over and over and over and over and over and over, he put me in a bus route. I was a bus driver, not the bus captain. The bus captain was in charge. I would bring more kids than the bus captain. I would drive in. I would prepare a sermon for every single week. I would prepare for those kids to preach to those kids. A lot of them are my kids. Bus captain would get up there, and it's time to preach. And he'd look over me and say, hey, man, do you know that verse that says he cometh with clouds? I'd say, okay, it's here. He'd say, okay. And he'd turn around, and he'd get up and preach in that verse. He didn't know where it was 30 seconds ago. He wasn't even studying. And he would just get up and scream and yell about whatever verse I would tell him where it was. And I got this sermon prepared. And for 2.5 years, I didn't get to preach once. And just get to listen to ill-prepared people, an ill-prepared bus captain who I didn't respect, get up and preach. Oh boy, it was a, let's defeat every little squish, every little bit of rebellion in you. But if you know me now, I'm extremely good at authority. Matter of fact, I probably almost always say yes, sir, to you. Preachers, I drive them crazy because they say, hey, John, how's it going? They'll say, hey, Joel, how's it going? I say, hey, it's good to see you, Brother Smith, Brother Jones, Brother. I can't call him Joe or John. I got to call him pastor or brother. Why? Because authority is so big to me now. Now, you say, well, you're just a follower. No, listen, I proved myself many times when my authority tried to get me to disobey God. I can stand up to him. Not a problem in the world with that. Matter of fact, I guarantee you, they tell us can't read our Bible, can't go to churches and like that. You'll find me one of the last people who will give in to them. My highest authority is right there. But I'm able to submit myself to authority because God beat it out of me. And guess what? I never struggle with it anymore. Now, there's some other things that I left in the land, unfortunately. And they drive me crazy. But the authority thing, not a problem. Chewing tobacco. Boy, that was hard for me. Oh, it's so hard to me quit chewing tobacco. And God totally delivered me from that. I never struggle with it. Alcohol. Big problem. Haven't touched a drop. Not even, it's no temptation. And by the way, alcoholic home, alcoholic dad, alcoholic friends, drinking when I was young, drinking all through my teen years. Have no desire for alcohol. You can put it in front of me, wouldn't bother me. I'm totally delivered from that. Not because God delivered me, I understand that. But I didn't mess with it anymore. I didn't go back. I didn't leave it there in my life. And so I completely got it. Now there's some other things. Who wants to know what the other things are that aren't gone? That's nice. And I don't struggle with privacy. And but there's some other things that I didn't get all the way out. And I have to battle those. Now, I can have victory over them, but I have to fight them. I don't have to fight alcohol and authority and chewing tobacco. I don't have to fight that anymore. And you know what? In your life, there's probably things that God delivered you from and you didn't have to do them. I want to say this. While God's defeating your enemies, finish your enemy off. Bad friends, bad music, laziness. That was another one of mine, by the way. Oh, I was so lazy. I got fired my first two jobs. I should have been fired for my first five. I was so lazy. I couldn't show up. I couldn't show up on time. When I worked, I couldn't wait for a break. When the boss wasn't looking, I would not work. I was so lazy. I never had chores and duties. But by the way, check me now. You'll find I'm not very lazy. Because God forced me to work hard and kept beating and pushing and shoving. And you would think, God's mean. He just pushes me to keep on dealing with this thing. No, he's not mean. He's trying to set you free, trying to make it easy for you. And many times you'll find that stumbling block, your besetting sin, that God is saying, let's get rid of this thing. And you say, okay, let's just stop it for a little while. But I don't want to cut all the ties. Then you're going to be fighting that battle again. And it gets old to fighting the same battle over and over and over and over and over again. It gets really old. And by the way, if you're going to quit smoking, quit smoking. We have we have patches, we have e-cigarettes, I-cigarettes, U-cigarettes, B-cigarettes, D-cigarettes, smokeless cigarettes, listen, at some point you got to quit smoking and throw it away. And listen, just get rid of it. Finish the process. Don't keep fighting the same battle. Did you know when somebody is done with smoking, you know when they're done? They can't stand cigarette smoke anymore. That's when they're done. All of a sudden, it's going, oh, I can't be in here. I can't stand smoke anymore. That's what most people are no longer smokers anymore. And by the way, I'm going to be so much trouble. You'll always be an alcoholic. Sorry, but you can be delivered miraculously and have no desire for alcohol. Now, not everybody's going to have that. Not everybody gets that victory. But I like to have my enemies completely defeated. I don't like them to hang around, because most people leave their enemies, they keep being a snare to them. Oh, it got me again. Oh, it got me again. Oh, it got me again. So when God has given you the victory, get the victory. And so you do that. And so and you don't want to fight the same battles over and over. Now, here's the hope. You say, Pastor, I already had the time of my life. I left this thing around. I want to say this. Two things. One, God can defeat those enemies where they are your servants for generations. That's what happened to some of the enemies when they let God give them the victory. And it won't be a constant struggle. You can live in victory. But whenever you let, put your guard down, it'll still be there. Okay? But if you don't put your guard down, you're fine with it. You're not struggling all the time with it. Secondly, and this is the wonderful, 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 hopeful thing I want you to have, is it, God many times in somebody's life starts working again. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. I've seen people who served the Lord when they were up till 12 years old and got away from the Lord. Then they started coming back to church and God started stirring them and moving them, and they started just like their new Christian. They're so excited and growing so fast. That is another victory time. Jump on those things, because God is killing your enemies now again. And sometimes it happens to people in their 60s and 50s and later in life, and God is stirring and moving again powerfully in your life. And when God is doing that, you better jump on those things right then. You better get the victory right then. Remember the story when, and I didn't look it up, but when one of the kings was told by a prophet, it said, smite the ground with the arrow. And he smote it three times. And he says, no! You should have smitten at least 5, 6, 10 times, because every time you smote it, you're gonna defeat your enemy. So now you're gonna have just a few victories over them, but you could have totally destroyed them. What's that saying? When you have the opportunity for victory, when the Lord, it says in Deuteronomy, starts defeating your enemies, go all the way in and defeat them. Because here's the biggest danger of all. And pray, say, God, give me victory again. Give me a chance to stamp this out again. God's a merciful God when God is stirring and moving. But here's the thing, is this enemy that got left there. And here, I want to say, the most common way enemies get left there now that I see, at least in our area, I know this is true in our area, the most common way that enemies get left there now is this evil, wicked, rotten, demonic phrase that says, that's just me. I was just born that way. It's just the way I am. Okay, I guess if a guy has a desire for murdering people, just the way he is, it's okay. That's secular psychology. There's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. I've just got too much testosterone. I've just got too much estrogen. I'm just born with this. No. No, you don't have to be a victim if you don't want to be. There's victory for everybody. But when we don't get something out of our life, what happens is eventually that thing left over destroys you. Alcohol. Let's just say, pretty soon you start drinking so much, and all of a sudden you say, you know what, I shouldn't even go to church. I'm so bad, I'm drinking all the time. I'm just not going to go to church. Get out of church. Pretty soon you're living with the girlfriend again. Pretty soon you're doing drugs again. Pretty soon you're homeless again. Why? You're destroyed because of the one thing you didn't get rid of. Sometimes lust. And sometimes I don't understand. Watch this. I don't understand how that particular thing that doesn't seem like that big a thing destroyed you. I just can't control my temper. And then one Sunday you get mad at the pastor and won't come back to church. And then 5 years later you justify it and you tell people, I just had a bad experience, so I'm not going to go to church anymore. Okay, I had a bad experience at a restaurant one time, but I still go back to restaurants. I had a bad experience at a doctor one time. They're shot. They didn't draw the blood right. I'm never going to doctor again. I don't care if I got a heart attack. So illogical. And so when... when you let that thing hang around, sometimes it becomes just a little anger, all of a sudden becomes bitterness, which destroys you, ruins your marriage. it's just gossip. And you didn't, well, okay, just gossip. No. All of a sudden, gossip ruined your marriage. All of a sudden, gossip injures the church. And church has to say, you know what? You need to quit coming here. And by the way, if somebody won't quit gossip in our church, we'll do that. We don't have time for somebody to cause all kinds of problems, that stuff. Boy, do I sound mean today? Am I mean? Yes? I sound mean? All right, I got half and half. So we've got to go and realize that God has given us victory. Let's not leave something around for the devil to use to raise up. And one little dinky little thing, we think, destroys us. Gets us to make God's judgment come upon us. That's what happened. One little statue and God's judging the nation because it wouldn't stop. So the thought is, put the fire all the way out. Put the fire all the way out. Completely just don't embrace it. Don't keep it hidden there. Don't keep on saying, I pretty much got defeated. I'm just going to keep this around just in case. No. No, don't do that. Don't keep the drug dealer's number on your phone. Don't do that stuff. Don't just all the way separate from it. Don't go a little way. Go all the way. Because there are still some things that I wish I would have finished off. I didn't quite finish them off. And it's a battle. And now God can get the victory. And just that enemy keeps coming, but you thump him. God gives the victory. You have to keep thumping him. That's okay. But if God opens the door again in his goodness and mercy and wants to do a work again, man, you go after that enemy. See, I'm thumping you this time all the way. I'm wiping you out. I'm putting a fire all the way. You're done. I'm not going to revisit this anymore. I'm tired of this. Because it gets old to battle the same battles all the time, doesn't it? It gets old. So don't keep a soft spot in your heart for what's not a big deal. Defeat it all the way and let it not be once named among you. Got it? You understand? Amen. Let's go ahead and let's bow for prayer. Father, I thank you for the word of God. I thank you for this lesson, Lord. It's more of a sermon, but Lord, I pray that we wouldn't be defeated. I pray that we would, when you're working, when you're making that enemy so weak that we can completely wipe them out, when we need to stamp out the idols and burn them and roast them in the fire so that we can't even see the form that gold was before. Lord, may we just jump on that opportunity, please. And Lord, I pray in your goodness and mercy, because you wanted to speak to us about this today, that each one of us would go and you would work in our lives and start giving us victory again. And Lord, help us also that if we have a few remnants left in the land, may we just be able to defeat them. And you give us the strength day by day, every day, to keep having victory. And please help us in these things to be strong and have your strength, because you still give us strength. You kept sending a judge to deliver Israel from their enemies that were their snares, but they got victory over those snares. They came back again later, but they had victory, and thank you for that, Lord. I pray we'd have that in our lives, and I pray you give us a victory in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Just before we